on episode 380 of the YLP Podcast. Yes, today is Elimination Chamber Day. And of course, happy Elimination Chamber to all of you. And more than likely, Australia is a day ahead of us, so they probably already seen it. I wouldn't dare try to watch a show at 5 a.m. Trust me, I've tried to watch it with New Japan. It just is a pain, and it messes up your day and my sleep schedule. So, yeah, we're not going to watch that live, but we will be watching it at a later point in the day. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it is Elimination Chamber Day, but if you are watching it live, my kudos to you. But before you get into all the festivities in terms of Elimination Chamber, of course, I got a little bit of the news of the week. Of course, the show discusses everything that's fit for me, all the news, I should say, that's fit for me to talk about. And what do I have on the docket this week? Well, we're going to be kicking off this week's episode with an article from WrestlingInc.com where Booker T discusses black talent in the wrestling industry. And I would be a fool to have the last episode of Black History Month and not discuss black talent in the wrestling industry. Of course, me being biracial, but black myself, it's definitely something to, you know, enjoy and discuss about the history of black talent in the wrestling industry. So that's what we're going to be discussing at the top of today's episode. Also, Cash Wheeler, if you would remember back about, say, a year ago or something like that, well, he had a little bit of a situation where he was charged with aggravated assault with a firearm. And it seems like the trial, well, I pretty much spoiled the whole plot, but yeah, it looks as if this case is going to be going to trial for one Cash Wheeler, so we're going to be discussing that and my thoughts on the issue at hand. Also, we all know, Okada gone. Okay, we're, you know, I'm coping with it, you know. I'm just taking it all in. But at least our newfound president of NJPW, and also current reigning and defending NJPW World Television Champion, but we ain't gonna talk about that right now, Hiroshi Tanahashi has admitted NJPW needs to make new stars. And since I am, at least within the WrestleLadic Radio realm, the resident NJPW somewhat of an expert, this is definitely something that honestly makes sense. And we're going to be discussing this at length in the second half of today's episode. And we're going to be also discussing, hoping, you know, a major hint for WWE SummerSlam 2024 this go around. I know we discussed last week on the podcast about possibly for Vegas being the front runner now for next year's WrestleMania. Maybe we'll get an idea as to where 2024 SummerSlam, or as they call it, the biggest party of the summer. I call it, depending on who you're at, depending on which WrestleMania, you know, SummerSlam, I should say, that we're talking about, you know, biggest scam of the summer. But nonetheless, we're going to be discussing that, all that and more, because it is Saturday, it is Elimination Chamber Day. It is time to, talk news, enjoy the day as it comes, and hopefully enjoy a good, solid Elimination Chamber premium live event. It's still foreign for me to say it, okay? I prefer pay-per-view, but hey, here we are in 2024. Anyway, this is episode 380 of the YLP Podcast. Let's hit that intro. Let's get it started. And with that being said, let us begin.
Hello, everyone. This is Nate the Effing Great from the Brace for Impact Podcast. It is time to open your ears and, most importantly, wake up your mind, because you are listening to the Young Lions Perspective here on Wrestle Attic Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling Delicious Podcast here, and welcome to episode 380 of the YLP Podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this Elimination Chamber Day, and I hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. It is Saturday, February 24th, 2024, the last February, last Saturday of February. Hope you guys had a great week. Hope it was as good as you can make it be. And from the sound of my voice, you're probably hearing at this very moment, I'm sounding quite nasally, a little bit of nasal congestion. It'd be like that sometimes, you know, just have to take it in day by day. But that did not stop me from making sure an episode was coming out on Elimination Chamber Day. Now, usually you would think I'd be doing a preview and predictions for today's episode. But nay. No, we did that last week. But I gotta make sure, you know, at least to give you guys something worth of acknowledgement and goodness and all that stuff. And that's why we're bringing it back, of course, the news of the week. The show, of course, discusses all the news that's fit for me to talk about in terms of professional wrestling. And as I said in the intro, we got plenty to discuss. And of course, we're going to be talking about, of course, Cash Wheeler's, you know, going aggravated assault with a firearm case going to trial. Tanahashi pretty much saying he needs new stars. And talking, of course, about this possible SummerSlam location. We're going to kick off the episode, as we said in the intro, as we head over to WrestlingInc.com. WWE Hall of Famer Booker T discusses black talent in the wrestling industry. This is by Roz W. Berman, the fourth. Rise of black talent in WWE has been an inspirational achievement over the past couple of decades of WWE programming, something which seemingly went into overdrive with Kofi Kingston's victory at WrestleMania 35. On the latest Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Famer and former world champion Booker T, five-time WCW champion, believes that the superstars who have been making history have themselves to thank for the opportunity. Booker said, quote, I don't think you can push black talent that's not here. We've got a lot of guys that have come through and they've made huge marks in our industry, and those guys who made huge marks deserved it. The former WCW World Heavyweight Champion doesn't want someone to be in the conversation because of their race, but because of the work they've put in. He goes on to say, quote, we've got a lot of African-American talent on the roster because they've seen African-Americans do well in the business as of this last 10, 15, 20 years. Kids in the neighborhood see it's something that can change their life. Booker, he continues, noting that black kids didn't see professional wrestling as a way out of bad neighborhoods when he was growing up. He goes on to say, quote, I think the more we move along in life, we're going to see more and more and more black athletes. More Trick Williams, more Carmelo Hayes. It's one of those generational things that is just catching on. WWE isn't the only company with black talent hoping to make history, as AEW Swerve Strickland has been outspoken about his desire to become the first black AEW world champion. Now, me, as, of course, a biracial man in America, half black on my mom's side, half white on my dad's side, and growing up, when I was watching professional wrestling, there wasn't much black talent, at least from what I saw in the world of professional wrestling. But when I started to, you know, go back, of course, when WWE 24/7 came out, OGs know about that. I started seeing, you know, old WCW shows when Ron Simmons won the WCW International Championship, even though that belt was actually the World Heavyweight Championship. Don't ask how, it just be like that. But yeah, seeing Ron Simmons win the WCW International Championship, that was a wonderful moment for me. You know, I'm a big fan of Farouk, Ron Simmons, if you will. So seeing that was pretty cool. But as I was growing up, I didn't see much black talent. Of course, we had The Rock, which is a debate. Some people say he ain't black. We know he's Samoan, but if he is black, hey, kudos to you, man. Of course, seeing the Nation of Domination, seeing that was pretty cool. Actually, it was just like, oh man, this is, you know, real cool seeing, you know, black folks represent. And especially if they were playing a major role in the world of WWF version of WWE at the time. So it was really cool to see how that all worked. Of course, Almay Johnson, you got Swerve, you got Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks. And there's so much talent that's coming up now, like, you know, Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, Top Flight. They black, they just like, it's fine. But it's seeing, you know, black talent in WWE, in AEW, in the indies, you know, guys like Calvin Tankman and Jay Malachi, who actually just got moved over, he actually just signed with NXT, I forget his name. But yeah, Jay Malachi was now over at NXT, you know, doing his thing. Of course, Wrestling Flow. You know, a big key to that success and seeing all of that. Josiah Williams, that's his name. There we go. And seeing him being part of that. And it's just, it's really now cool to see, you know, seeing black folks, seeing black people in professional wrestling and seeing the talent that they bring to the table, you know, minus the whole big tree bloodline they showed at the goddamn the WrestleMania kickoff event, but hey, we ball regardless. But to see, you know, African-American talent, black folk, black people doing their thing in the ring, and, you know, kids seeing that and realizing that there is more than just a way out of just, you know, as Biggie once put it, either you sell in crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. You know what I mean? But now we're seeing more avenues being opened up for black folks to get into and seeing and get into their lane, and seeing guys like Swerve and Calvin Tankman and Bianca and Montez Ford, Bobby Lashley, and, you know, Angelo Dawkins. Seeing all of that and all of them compete in the, you know, top professional companies in the world in the professional wrestling. And it's just really awesome to see, you know, especially going back to the early, like, you know, the 90s, you know, professional wrestling, you know, and even going to the 80s, you've seen talent like Coco Beware, you know, coming out with a parrot out, which was still to this day wild as hell. They would actually have that gimmick go over, but it got over. It's wild. Even as a kid seeing it, as a teenager seeing it, WWE 24/7 back in the day, shout out to Comcast, the one good thing they had for their networks and whatnot until they started sucking. Nonetheless, there's a lot of new talent coming up. You know, I guess Reggie's still popping because he's got OTM now. Jada Parker, you're seeing Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, Jay Malachi now over there. He's going to kill it. He's going to kill it in NXT. I have a good feeling about him in NXT. Really happy about that. And, you know, even seeing guys, you know, talent like Keith Lee, you know, Red Velvet here, Hogan. And just seeing that, especially for me, is fantastic. It's a joy to watch, especially with the talent that is now here today in professional wrestling in 2024. My God. You know, Moose. Even though some people say, but you know, it's really cool just seeing this new wave of talent coming into the fold. Oh, but Femi, shout out to the North America champion one time for the folks. It's really cool to see. I mean, going even back to moments like, you know, when Sasha and Bianca, you know, Bianca Belair had the first time in WWE history that two black people actually main evented at WrestleMania, and to be in that moment and recognizing the actual, how big of a moment this was for two black women to actually main event at WrestleMania. We will not be talking about what happened with Booker T and Triple H. We ain't got time for that. But to see the beginning, the opening seconds of that match after the bell rang, crowd went freaking ballistic. And also, they actually, at least to my knowledge, built this match up and didn't worry about the racial aspect or the race aspect. They were just like, these are two talented women at the top of the card for the SmackDown Women's Championship, and you know it's about to be a banger. I mean, some can speculate, yeah, they did it because of that, but yeah, it's history nonetheless. It is history nonetheless, and they produced what I thought was one of the better matches of that particular WrestleMania. They made history. And you're seeing it every single day within, you know, seeing the black talent in professional wrestling. For me, it's a fantastic thing to see. And we're seeing more and more, you know, talent coming into the fold. And, like, as Booker T said, you know, black kids didn't see that as a way out. But now it is. Because you can see it on telly. You know, even Jay Lethal, we show him love. It's just really fantastic. You know, Shane Taylor Promotions all day. I'm just thinking off the top of my head now. But just being able to see that, being able for them to showcase their talents, and being recognized all over the world. Prince Nana one time. You can't just not have, you know, talking about that without, you know, the Nana dance, which I do almost on a daily basis. Because it's just a dope song. I listen to that song in the gym, and I go ham on that shit. But it's really fantastic to see. It's really great to see, and I hope to see more talent coming into the fold. And, you know, seeing that and just being, you know, seeing a Bobby Lashley, seeing a Montez Ford, seeing a Bianca Belair. I mean, damn. Why not? And it's just another, it's just another avenue for us, another lane for us to get in and showcase how, what we can do in the ring. And of course, we'll always shout out the world famous cheeseburger. How the fuck did he get over? Don't matter, he got over. But it's just fun to watch and to see the development and the growth and the evolution of black talent in the wrestling industry. It's something I enjoy seeing. We went from, well, of course, I didn't want to bring it up. Of course, the Booker T booking for, you know, against Triple H. We all know what happened with that. We all saw it. We all saw it. Didn't want to see it. But we all saw it. But now we are where we are in the world of professional wrestling. And it is just a joy to watch. Seeing some of the best talent in the world make waves. Excuse me. And just show their ass. And there's nothing better than that. At least on my end. There's nothing better than that. And nothing better than seeing that. That's just me though. But yeah. Best in the, you know, some of the best in the world. And that's all there is. Anyway, we shall move on. And we head over to Fightful.com. No, I don't want your notifications. Thank you. Billy Corgan. And the NWA. And it's a rarity that I talk about the NWA on this show because it's NWA. It ain't what it used to be. But it's getting better now. Because they have announced an exclusive streaming deal with the CW, and including an unscripted series. From Colin Tessier. The NWA has officially announced a streaming deal with the CW. On February 21st, Billy Corgan and the National Wrestling Alliance announced an exclusive streaming deal that will include multiple programs, including NWA Power and an unscripted series starring Corgan. Additionally, NWA Hard Times 2024 will premiere on the CW as future episodes of NWA Power, streaming on both the CW's website and the CW app. I didn't even know they had a damn app. When the hell was this? Now, this is from Billy Corgan and the NWA. Quote, today, Grammy Award-winning founder of the Smashing Pumpkins and National Wrestling Alliance President Billy Corgan proudly announces an exclusive streaming deal for NWA with the CW. Under this newly minted all-encompassing partnership, multiple NWA programs will be streaming on demand via the CW platform and portal in the United States, democratizing access to action-packed wrestling from some of the sport's biggest, boldest, and brightest personalities. All programming is notably available free of charge and without a subscription via the CW app. It represents a monumental power move for the NWA. The partnership not only amplifies the brand's presence throughout popular culture and the zeitgeist, but it also sets a precedent for wrestling at large. Flagship program NWA Power is live on the platform now and features Return to Robarts, programming emanating from the historic Robarts Arena in Sarasota, Florida. New air episodes air weekly on Tuesdays with past seasons also available to stream. Additionally, the much-anticipated Paranoia live event on Power is also now available on the CW. Shot on January 13, 2024 at Revolution Live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The signature event, Paranoia, features some of the league's top stars in a myriad of thrilling high-octane matches. Next up, the massive signature live event, Hard Times 2024, will premiere on the platform as part of future episodes of NWA Power, streaming on both CWTV.com and the CW app. Regarding the Alliance, Corgan commented, quote, the CW has made a big commitment to sports, and they have an incredible top-tier streaming platform. I wouldn't know personally. The network's audience represents a very wide swath of American culture, which wrestling has always been a key part of. This partnership gives us the opportunity to reach that audience more readily. We're excited to get the chance to show there are other voices in professional wrestling. With NWA, there's honesty, integrity, and a different level of swagger. Because it's coming from the underground, it's similar to rock and roll in this aspect. With the CW behind us, we're pulling NWA into the light where fans can appreciate its authenticity. Additionally, a brand new unscripted title series about Corgan's life, family, role as president of NWA, and his day job will also debut on the CW later this year. Co-produced by Corgan's own production company, Lightning One Incorporated, and Nacelle Company, it offers an unprecedented vignette into every dimension of his world with unparalleled candor. Corgan continues to deepen the story mythos, English hard, I swear, and legacy of NWA, one of the oldest and most prestigious professional wrestling brands in the world. He has carefully curated matches and sought out exciting new talent, building a haven for future superstars to shine with attitude, integrity, power, and panache. As such, NWA currently serves as a home to... Let me see.
What?
Lichtenson. Lichtenson. I am saying it as is written. And Kratos. Blunt Force Trauma, Damage and Carnage, Aaron Stevens, Austin Idol, The Insane Clown Posse's Violent J. He's still doing wrestling? Jesus Christ. Talking 98 back in the day. The brothers of Funstruction, Yabo and Rufo, Colby Carino, Mims, Max the Impaler, EC3, Matt Cardona, Thrill Billy, Silas Mason. That's a name. That is a name right there. Trevor Murdoch. Former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Tom Latimer, The Immortals, Oh, The Sinister Minister, Father James Mitchell, hell yeah, Virgil, Brian Idol, Natalia Markova, Kerry Morton, Alex Taylor, Mae Valentina, among others. With more heavyweights, more drama, and the most bravado, Billy Corgan, the CW, and NWA will enthrall and thrill inside and outside of the ring throughout 2024 and beyond. Stay tuned, end quote. Good for them. I'm not saying that like to me like a dick. Like, I understand the NWA has been trying desperately for a very long time to get a streaming deal, to get their product into, you know, actual streaming platforms where fans can actually watch their product. Unless you were, like, you know, getting their pay-per-views and buying them, you know, you didn't really see much. Unless you went on YouTube, watched an old NWA Powers to kind of get into the things. And for me... I don't watch much NWA since the old TNA days when it was NWA TNA. That's pretty much the only time I ever saw anything of NWA in, you know, my face. So for them to actually get this opportunity is big for the NWA. It actually truly is. I know the CW is not really that big of a platform as it used to be, but, you know, this could be massive for them. Gets more eyes on the product. And if, of course, you have the CW app or you're watching on CWTV.com, then you're actually seeing this. I don't know how many markets they're in terms of the United States. You know, especially on cable. But in terms of streaming now, because streaming is everything now, like they get that opportunity. And if you're watching CW stuff on TV or, you know, on the app, it helps. Again, this is big. You know, their biggest show, Hard Times, is going to be on there. NWA Power, their main platform, will be shown. So it's going to be interesting to see how well and how much, how many eyes they actually bring over to their product and to be able to have the ability to showcase their talent. There's good talent over there. EC3, Trevor Murdoch. Who else they got over there? Tom Latimer, Aaron Stevens, Matt Cardona, of course. I believe former NWA World Heavyweight Champion. And some of the, you know, Camille's still over there. As far as we know, she's still in NWA. But it gives them an opportunity to now expand their horizons for fans that maybe haven't seen NWA as of late and are willing to check it out. So if you do want to get the CW app, CWTV.com, and check this out, hey, I might do so myself. I will see. We'll see how it goes. But at least, you know, shout out to Billy Corgan and for them getting the opportunity to actually showcase their show. And hopefully more eyes get the CBC on the product. Because that's all you hope for. When you have platforms like this, you give an opportunity to actually be able to, you know, be like, this is NWA right now. Here it is. Like I said, this is a big opportunity for them. So hopefully they're going to be bringing their best moving forward. Because there's a lot of talent in NWA that maybe fans don't know about. And it would be a good way for them to be seen on platforms. So... again, I wish Billy Corgan and them the best with the CW deal, and I hope they really get some eyes on the product, because it'll be cool to see. It'd be something big for NWA going into the future as we move into further into 2024. Now, to end the first half of this week's episode of the YLP podcast, we head over to WrestleZone.com. Now, I believe we spoke about this about a year ago. A little incident happened in Florida. A little bit of road rage happened, and someone happened to brandish a firearm. Now, that's not something I would want to do on the road, especially if you're on the, you know, in the highway doing, you know, acting a damn fool and, you know, showing off the peace, even though you're trying to keep the peace. But we're talking about Cash Wheeler heading to trial for aggravated assault with a firearm. Also by Colin Tessier, man's a busy man. A new update on Cash Wheeler states that he is heading to trial in August 2023. Okay, so not a year ago, but well. October, so about 6 months ago. In August 2023, the Orlando Sentinel reported that Cash Wheeler was arrested and charged with one count of aggravated assault with a firearm. Wheeler filed a plea of not guilty on August 3rd. At Wheeler's arraignment hearing, the state described the situation as what appeared to be a road rage type incident in which Wheeler allegedly flashed his handgun at the alleged victim. It was said that Wheeler did not know the others who were involved. A requested bond of $25,000 was accepted by the judge. And there's a hyperlink if you want to read the police report. I'm not going to. I ain't got time for that. Per Mike Johnson, though, of PW Insider, Cash Wheeler was arraigned before Florida's Orange County Court on February 20th. Wheeler did not appear, but he entered a plea of not guilty. Johnson writes that the court set a trial date of May 20th with a pretrial set for May 7th. The court ordered that Wheeler must appear at the pretrial hearing. As noted by Johnson, a conviction for aggravated assault with a firearm under Florida law could lead up to 5 years of imprisonment, 5 years of probation, and a $5,000 fine. Wheeler is set to compete on the February 21st episode that already passed of AEW Dynamite. There, he and Dax Harwood are set to face Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. That must have been a banger. My goodness. In the original report, the Atlanta Sentinel shared the following statement from AEW, saying, quote, AEW has been made aware of the charge, and we are closely monitoring the situation. Wheeler is fully cooperating with local authorities. Of course, WrestleZone will provide more information as it becomes available, and I will try to keep up with it as much as possible. Now, we know that it is going to trial, pre-trial, on May 7th, court date May 20th. Where do we even begin with this? Where do we even begin? I'm trying to remember what I kind of said. Like, I always, as I always do, if that's legitimately the case, then, and it leads to actual, you know, imprisonment, then yeah, you gotta put, you know, you gotta deal with that. You gotta do that bid, sir. And this is definitely not good. And it's not a good look for AEW, regardless of who is the person that is actually doing it. Any AEW talent. I mean, we've already had many cases, DUIs, you know, sexual assault scandals, steroids bullshit, you know. And now we have this. Now we have this. For the life of me, I can't understand why you feel the need to actually be, you know, engaging in this type of tomfoolery, engaging in fuckery. That's basically what it is. It's exactly what it is. It's nonsense. Not only are you pretty much risking the remainder of your career, you're also risking the remainder of FTR as a tag team in AEW and making hard decisions for AEW moving forward. It's a bad look all around. It's a bad look for Cash. It's a bad look for FTR. It's a bad look for AEW. You don't want to do that. It's the last thing you need to be doing in the first place, bro. As Dej Loaf said in Kid Ink's song, let's just be honest, let's just be real. if it is deemed that, yeah, he is guilty of aggravated assault, Cash Wheeler better pray he don't get jail time. If it's a first-time nonviolent offender, I don't know how it works under Florida law, but maybe he might get off. But Florida takes their law very seriously. It's just known fact. A lot of craziness always happens in Florida. Sonny Case, Liv Morgan smoking that little bit of that good weed. And of course, as Stephen A. Smith would say, stay off the weed. And actually, that applies to this case because, you know, Jack Swagger actually got his opportunity screwed over because he smoked a little bit and didn't get told to stay off the weed. I live in Colorado, so things are a little bit different. But nonetheless, this is a very bad situation for Cash Wheeler if he is found guilty of aggravated assault with a firearm. 5 years imprisonment is a very long time. 5 years of probation is a very long time. It's one of those things where you just hope that it all pans out for Cash. I hope the best for him. I do. And this is an opportunity, hopefully, to kind of see the error of his ways. But I don't know how this case is going to go, but he does have to show up for May 7th. And May 20th, he will have to go to trial. I don't know what's going to happen between now and, you know, May 20th when we go to trial. But we hope the best. That's honestly what you can hope for. That's it. Hope for the best. We'll see how it goes. And until then, Cash Wheeler, keep your head down. Nose to the grindstone. And can help, you know, just hope for the best. But that's going to conclude the first half of episode 380 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, of course, I got more news. Hiroshi Tanahashi admitting NJPW need to make new stars. And that is a big deal. We'll discuss that at length, you know, on the other side of this episode of the podcast. Also, a major hint for WWE SummerSlam 2024's location. Where do we possibly believe SummerSlam is going to emanate from? And we end this week's episode from WrestlingInc.com. Bully Ray details, words are hard, what he wants to see from Cody Rhodes in WWE and what he shouldn't do. That's an interesting little bit of news to be discussing on the second half. But yeah, we'll be talking about that on the other side of episode 380 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How's it going, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, General Manager here at WrestleTotic Radio and host of Kings of the Rings podcast, a show where we look at the biggest topics in the pro wrestling world, from WWE, AEW, and everywhere in between, with my co-host Willie T, as well as Kayfabe, formerly known as The K Murphy. And from time to time, we'll have a special guest from the wrestling podcast world. So make sure to check us out each and every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for our live streaming show on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, with the premiere of the actual episode on all podcast streaming platforms the next day on Thursday. So Kings of the Rings podcast, exclusively here on WrestleTotic Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. And be sure to follow us everywhere on social media at KOTR_podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with your main event segment of episode 380 of the YLP podcast. Again, thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. Let us get right into the second half of the news we got going on this week. But actually, before I do, I think it would be foolish of me not to plug my squadron of Wrestle Addict Radio Tuesdays. Make sure you brace for impact with Mr. Nate himself. Unfortunately, we can all call him the MCW World Heavyweight Champion in this unfortunate circumstances. But we'll fight on. Make sure you check it out. Of course, the yesteryears of Impact and the early days of TNA. If that's your bag, Tuesday's your day to check out the Brace for Impact podcast every Wednesday night. Make sure you check out the Kings of the Rings podcast hosted by the one and only our general manager of Wrestling Radio, King Ricky Rose, Will Tereshook, a.k.a. Willie T, and the one and only K motherfucking Fabe. The one and only owner of the hopefully future tag team champions Boris and Frankie Tortellini. Adorable creatures. But yes, if you know, you enjoy, of course, pro wrestling, pop culture, all talking nonsense, all that good stuff, Wednesday night, live on YouTube, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, and Twitch, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For me, 6 p.m., so it's quite nice. 7:30 pre-show if you want to check that out. I've been on there. If you want to check out that episode, you can go to youtube.com/KingsOfTheRingsPodcast, and you can check out that episode talking about Wrestle Kingdom 18. I enjoyed it thoroughly. You know, hopefully be back on there soon. But yes, Wednesday nights, and then if you want to get the audio version, every Thursday. Then we can get into Friday. And if you love yourself some Ruthless Aggression, Fretz and Mania Podcast is for you. Mr. Fretz, our friendly neighbor to the north, who has a Traeger and on his Instagram, at Fretzelmania, by the way, cooking up some good stuff that I have been wanting to destroy, you know, eating-wise. Yeah, check it out. It's very nice. Also does coffee reviews, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, if that is your bag, if that's, you know, what you're liking, Fretzelmania every single Friday. Then you got me to round out your weekend in proper YLP fashion with the YLP podcast, because that is Wrestling Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Nailed it. Anyway, let us get into the bit of news we've got going on for the remainder of the show. As we head over to WrestleTalk.com, major hint for WWE SummerSlam 2024 location. A new report has revealed a major hint for the WWE SummerSlam 2024 location following Ohio awarding credits for TV production. There's been much discussion in regards to what the location for this year's SummerSlam event will be. At the end of 2023, Fightful Select reported the rumored city for the WWE SummerSlam. They wrote it. I'm just reading it as it's written. For the WWE SummerSlam 2024 event would be Cleveland, Ohio. Is Drew Carey gonna be there? No. Major League? Probably not. That would be cool. Anyway, it was recently reported that the WWE had been awarded $1.6 million in credits for an unspecified TV series. With rumors building since last year that Cleveland would be home for SummerSlam, it looks like this credit is for WWE's second biggest PLE of the year. According to a new report from CleveScene, the Ohio Motion Picture Tax Credit Program hands out refundable credits of up to 30% of the wages of production cast and crew. Lydia Mihalik, the director of the Ohio Department of Development, provided the following statement, and I quote, "Investing in these productions fuels the vibrant creativity that's alive in Ohio's communities and serves as a powerful catalyst for economic growth. These projects celebrate and showcase our diverse landscapes, generate jobs, stimulate local businesses, and create a lasting legacy for the arts in Ohio," end quote. Some $44 million in such credit were awarded last week. The full list of credits awarded by the program reads, there's a lot. we'll read a couple. I wouldn't want to, you know, not give you some of the things we got going on here. An Interesting Life, Season 2 in Southwest Ohio, $432,300. Nightmare Transmission, Season 2 in Ashland and Columbus, if that's, you know, in your area, you can check that out. Christmas on Main in Ashland. I have no idea what this is. No idea. Genesis in Cleveland and Cincinnati, Super Thief, Epiphany, Stained Glass, The Marshals, Nutcracker's Mustache, and got $2 million in credits. I would need to see a trailer to understand what they've got going on here. Just going to put that out there. The last of the big-time promoters. Harbor Master. Down to the Felt. Slay. Heavenly Wickedness. Cannonballer. The location for this WWE SummerSlam show hasn't been confirmed at the time of this writing. Anywho. Cleveland's an interesting location. I didn't think they would keep it in the Midwest. I thought they would branch out. But hey, you know, just a little something for y'all, you know, little something to kind of, you know, get back into the swing of things. Let me see. SummerSlam last year was, in Detroit? And they had it in Ford Field. If they do it right and the weather's good, they could probably do it in Paul Brown Stadium. Or they could, hold on, let me see. What arenas does Cleveland even have? If I could spell. Let's see. Because they're definitely not doing it progressive. Absolutely not. I'd be typing all day. And somehow I can't even figure out how to type words on a laptop. That's crazy. There we go. Go and check this out here and see what we got from the stadiumsguide.com, by the way. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so they got Progressive Field, Rocket Mortgage Field House, and First Energy Stadium. Oh, it's no longer Progressive. Oh, they got, okay, Progressive, yeah. Rocket Mortgage Field House. Is that where the Cleveland Cavaliers play? Yeah, that's where the Cavs play. But I don't think they'll be able to do that. Maybe. Or is it? Hold, please. What's First Energy Stadium? Oh, is that what Cleveland? Okay, they probably do it at First Energy. Former Paul Brown. That could probably work. If they decide to go First Energy Stadium. They could, because that's, it's how many? 67,895? They could probably get 70 at least in there. They could do 70. They got the big fucking screen anyway. Let me see this. Yeah, they got the big screen up there on both sides, actually. So yeah, you'd be good. Oh yeah, you could definitely do it. First Energy Stadium. That'd probably be the most, like, one that makes sense. Depends, though. I mean, weather has to be, you know, important if they decide to do it outside. But first, I think First Energy Stadium would be the move if Cleveland is the pick to host SummerSlam this year. I mean, given the fact that the Browns, you know, just had a decent season, hey, why not? Why the hell not? The Cleveland Monsters of the AHL, of the American Hockey League. Wonder if they play nice. Because, I mean, you could do Progressive Field, but that would kind of be a little bit not worth, because the seating and everything just probably wouldn't work out. But yeah, so First Energy Stadium would be the most logical choice when it comes to if Cleveland does get the thumbs up for SummerSlam. We shall see, though. We will find out probably sooner rather than later. But let us get into a little bit more news. Heading over to WrestlingInc.com. Bully Ray details what he wants to see from Cody Rhodes in WWE and what he shouldn't do. While Cody Rhodes seems set to... Actually, I'm sorry. This is actually by Eric Mutter. Well, Cody Rhodes seems set to face Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Universal WWE Universal title. Why do we still have this? It's the Universal Championship. WWE Universal Championship. Done. Anyway, for the Undisputed WWE Universal title at WrestleMania 40, he still has a hurdle in the form of The Rock. The two have been at odds since Rock returned, and briefly took Rhodes' shot against Reigns. And many believe the two could find themselves facing off at night one of WrestleMania, with Rock and Reigns teaming up to face Rhodes and the WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins. Should Rhodes and Rock face each other, Bully Ray has some advice for how Rhodes should handle it. That advice, which Bully gave on Tuesday's episode of Busted Open Radio, would be to avoid a promo battle with The Rock, which Bully feels could set up Rhodes to get booed. Quote, "The last thing Cody should do is try to match Rock on the mic. It's not happening. Rocky will absolutely destroy Cody on the mic. That's not because Cody's good on the mic. It's that it's The Rock, and he's superior. Only John Cena was able to handle The Rock on the stick. Maybe Punk a little bit. You're talking about the top percent of guys on the microphone. So if The Rock does, Cody has to sit back and take it and go, you know what? I can't match you on a microphone, and I might not be able to lift as much as you in the gym. And I'm not on a Hollywood star like you. And I'm not this, and I'm not that. You know what I can do, Rock? I can beat you. I can pin you. And for 3 seconds, I'll be damned if I can't be better than you. And smack him right back in the face. Those people will go ballistic for Cody because Cody's being honest." End quote. Bully Ray's right. At least in my opinion. It is very hard. I mean, John Cena's buried some people on the sticks, but this is The Rock we're talking about. And we're not now having just The Rock in WWE. We're having corporate Rock in the WWE. Corporate Rock meets Hollywood. I mean, he said to the New Day, "Y'all look like y'all wearing a bunch of llama penises on your head." I mean, come on, bruh. And Bully Ray's also right in saying only John Cena was able to handle The Rock on the stick. As weird as that sounds, he's the only one. And the way Bully Ray frames it, it makes sense. Like, yeah, I can't match you on a microphone. But what I can do is beat you. All I need is 3 seconds, pretty much. And then the smack right back in the face. That just makes sense. It makes all the sense in the world to do it that way. And the way I honestly see it, in terms of WrestleMania, I think the thing that we shouldn't do is have a tag team match. That makes absolutely no sense. When you look at the grand scheme of things for WrestleMania, why would you have your World Heavyweight Champion not defending his championship at WrestleMania? It's one of those things where you're just like, cool, but no. But to have Cody Rhodes try to match him on the mic, you don't want that. It's The Rock we're talking about. It is The Rock we're talking about. And Cody got to get his, he's got to get his receipt at some point. So to have Cody say it like the way Bully Ray is talking here, to be able to just be like, all I got to do is beat you. And then you get the smack back, smacks Rock in the face. And then you kind of have a little, kerfuffle, if you will. At least to a match with The Rock, probably sometime in March. That'll be dope. But you don't want, I'm telling you right now. I mean, yes, Cody does need the adversity to get through everything. But to have Rock versus Cody at a WrestleMania, to have this tag team match, we're good on that. And the only way, and I'm sticking to it until I'm proven otherwise, the only way you get Rock, Cody, and Roman in the same ring at WrestleMania and it actually makes sense is if The Rock is a special guest referee. And also recreates the one, two, it doesn't matter if The Rock counts to three on British Bulldog. Be the heel. But then at some point, ref bump. You know, we get the whole shtick again. You know, have Roman, like, catch, you know, Rock upside the head by accident or whatever. Or spear The Rock, if you will. Or, like, he's still trying to spear Cody, but he actually spears The Rock. Telling you, great for, it could be a great moment. But, yeah, don't allow Cody to try to go bar for bar on the microphone. Don't do that. Absolutely not. That would just be the worst thing you would have Cody do. So keep it pimping. Keep it pimping. But, you know, with the whole Rock Roman stuff, and given the fact that I had a week or two extra to kind of formulate my thoughts, you know, where we stand now with The Rock, you know, he's now chilling with the Bloodline, all that stuff. You know, but we know eventually at some point The Rock's going to turn on Roman. It's simple. You follow the bouncing ball. Follow the bouncing ball. What do we have? Cody Roman. How do you have The Rock in there? Special guest referee. What will seem will be a screw job in the eyes of the fans will turn into triumph and betrayal for Cody becoming the new champion and then The Rock screwing over Roman. And then you set up that Rock Roman match at SummerSlam. You're welcome. I expect my check in the mail, WWE. Thank you. It's that simple. But getting back into it real quick. Yeah, it just makes sense. Don't have him go blow for bar on the sticks. Rock will just crucify that man. Now, if Cody can hold his own in some capacity, kudos to the man. We will give him a standing ovation as such. But tag match, don't do that. Do it on a cool ass Raw, you know, like go home show type shit, and have it just break down. But we got our last bit of news of the week. Coming to you from Cultaholic.com. And I actually feel like saving this for last because this is, I mean, I know there's most of you out there who don't listen to, or my bad, listen to, watch New Japan. Understandable, you know. But where we stand now with NJPW is interesting. Especially when I found this article. From Jack Atkins, Hiroshi Tanahashi admits NJPW need to make new stars. New Japan Pro Wrestling find themselves at a crossroads in 2024 with the main exit of main event stars Kazuchika Okada and Will Ospreay leaving the top of the NJPW card looking thin on the ground. New NJPW president Hiroshi Tanahashi is all too aware of the lack of depth at the top of the promotion, telling Inside the Ropes that the company need to build for the future, saying, quote, "This is a star-driven business, and we need to make new stars. That goes beyond success in the ring, as well as mainstream awareness and name value is the key to success. I want more of our wrestlers becoming household names," admitted Tanahashi. Outside of Okada and Ospreay, NJPW have also lost former IWGP heavyweight champions Jay White and Kota Ibushi over the last 2 years, with both White and Ibushi signing with All Elite Wrestling. NJPW did finally crown Sonata as World Heavyweight Champion in 2023 and are actively building up Bullet Club's David Finlay and the Reiwa Musketeers, Shota Umino, Yoda Tsuji, and Ren Narita. Why are we discounting Uemura? Well, this is from a different class. Time will tell. But in terms of established main event names, outside of current champion Tetsuya Naito, the division is noticeably lacking at the moment. I'm gonna say it like this. Outside of Tetsuya and Naito, there are not many top names that are homegrown within the company right now to challenge Naito for the championship. I mean, you still got the little thing with Sonata going on, but how long is that going to last? And this is not a knock on New Japan. I love New Japan. New Japan's my bag. New Japan is the reason I got back into pro wrestling in the first place. But I know trouble when I see it. I mean, granted, they got Nick Nemeth, now the global heavyweight champion. Spoilers for anyone who didn't know about that. My bad. Sorry. And then Matt Riddle defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi and becoming the NJPW World Television Champion. Quite interesting. Times we were in. Evil's the never open weight champion. Show won the fucking junior heavyweight title from El Desperado off a fucking countout. Which is a weird flex, but okay. It's confusing. It's a confusing time in NJPW. And I said this. The night before Wrestle Kingdom, I said I wanted to see Okada stay. For Tanahashi's sake. And we found out the news about Will Ospreay. He just did a slash indie show against Michael Oku for the Undisputed British Heavyweight Championship. So now he's fully completed his commitments and is about to go to AEW. Okada, pretty much, as far as I know, is going to be in AEW. And it's going to be interesting to see what NJPW can do now. With Tanahashi at the helm. Obari's gone. Okay? We're good. But who do we look to now? You have to look to your young stars, of course. I mean, Sonata. And I said this before on Wrestle Kingdom. They tried to make him the guy, but the fans pretty much didn't think he was the guy. They tried to make him the guy. I promise you they did. But honestly and for truly, Tanahashi's going to have to figure out how the ever-loving, Well, I mean, he's still got Gato as Booker. He's still got that. But going to be interesting to see, because I'm as the resident, you know, NJPW fan in Wrestleatic Radio, I am concerned. And let me see if I can find the New Japan roster, who they got. Oh, thank God. I want to see if, you know, there are any. Okay, it's updated. Sweet. All right. Looking strictly at heavyweight. We don't got to worry about nothing else. Alex Coughlin, no. Bad Luck Fale, no. Owens, nah. Finley is a possibility. David Finley is probably the biggest possibility they have to have him become a top star in the company. I mean, they did make him the inaugural global heavyweight champion for a reason. But then I had to lose it in Nick Mammoth at the New Beginning. Yes, Dolph Ziggler is now the global heavyweight champion. 2024 is a wild time, man. We're only in February. El Phantasmo, no. Evil, nah. Grito Khan, maybe. Hanari, no. Higaleo, no. Goto, no. Tanahashi, you better fucking not. That's conflict of interest, in my opinion. Tenzan, no. Jeff Cobb could be a contender. I mean, Kenta, no. Fletcher, nah. Lance Archer, no. Mark Davis, nah. Maybe Riddle, but he's got the World TV title now, so they'll have him for do a run. Nichols, no. Murder Grandpa, Minoru Suzuki. I wish. Always wishing. Nick Nemeth just won the Global Heavyweight Championship. Renda Rita, no. Sonata, you can only do with Sonata. You can only do it for so long. Before, you know, they're going to get bored. I mean, it's been a great feud between the two, but we're going to have to let it die at some point. And looking at this list, even looking at the remainder of the list, you know, Kojima, no. Takagi, maybe. Umino, not yet. Taichi, definitely not. Tamatanga's pretty much booking it out of New Japan. Tangaloa probably going to leave. Oh, maybe we'll leave with him. I don't know. Makabe Toki, fuck yeah. No. Tomoaki Hama, no. Ishii, just looking at this, it's a problem. I can understand exactly what they're doing. I get it. And they're going to have to figure a lot out. It's a concern. You guys mean you got Naito as your guy? Tanahashi's going to have to do a lot to make this work. I mean, you're losing your two of your top guys to All Elite Wrestling. What the fuck are y'all going to do? What are you going to do? And for me, at least in my end, the answer is I don't know. I'm not sure what they're going to do. They're going to have to build a... Gato's going to have to figure this out. Gato's going to have to figure out how in the ever-loving... are we going to get feuds for Naito throughout 2024? Because I don't think ain't no fucking way they're going to have Naito drop a championship if we're in this position in the company in terms of the heavyweights. I'm sure you can figure out your other mid-card titles, but the heavyweight championship is the one that matters. Hopefully, they figure it out. Because as an NJPW guy, as an NJPW fan, you know, I want to, you know, make sure the world understands that New Japan Pro Wrestling is here. I've been an advocate for it since 2016. It is the sole reason I came back into wrestling in the first place. So I want to see the very best they have to offer. I just want to see what 2024 brings for New Japan. Strong and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Hopefully they become great. Hopefully 2024 under Tanahashi will be a solid one. And a move that was needed to be made. But you lost two big names. I mean you have your forbidden doors. But there's only so much you can do with that. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting what they do. It's going to be interesting how Tanahashi wants to move, you know, moving forward. I want the best for NJPW. So hopefully Gato and Tanahashi get it together and have a little kumbaya session and figure this out, because we're entering new territory for NJPW, and it's going to be very interesting to see how they actually maneuver this one. I wish nothing but the best for NJPW, and trust me and believe I will be watching. That, ladies and gentlemen, is going to conclude episode 380 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, we're going to close the show in proper YLP fashion. Get you ready for episode 381 of the YLP podcast. Be right back.
What is going on, folks? This is Mr. Fretz from the Fretzelmania podcast, and you are listening to the Stephen A. Smith of Wrestle Addict Radio, Zach of the Young Lions Perspective. And unlike Stephen A., I'm here to tell you that we care.
Guys, that's going to be it for episode 380 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast, you can follow me on my social media over at Twitter, at YL Perspective, capital YLP Perspective, and over on Instagram at Young_Lions_Perspective. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 379 episodes of YLP podcast, yes, we are on the road to 400, ladies and gentlemen, and we will get there eventually. From the looks of things, probably before SummerSlam, if we stay consistent and on the running. We'll see how it goes. But yes, we are on the road to 400. But of course, if you have any questions, comments about today's episode, hit me up a nice little email over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. You can also leave a voice message over on podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective. So what do we get into next week? Well, Elimination Chamber is today, hence why today's episode is called 5 a.m. in Perth. And we'll be talking about all things Elimination Chamber next week, along with the news of the week. Of course, y'all know how I get down with my reviews. Talking about the best match, the worst match, final grade. What was the MVP of Elimination Chamber? We're discussing all of that. Of course, we're on the road to WrestleMania, so we gotta be discussing Elimination Chamber stuff. And of course, all the news that's fit for me to talk about. I'll keep it short and sweet because, you know, I'm still a little bit under the weather. But of course, guys, have an enjoyable weekend. Enjoy the remainder of your weekend. If you're going out this evening or any part of the weekend, make sure you drink responsibly. Drink one for me, but make sure you take that Uber or Lyft home. No reason to be getting behind the wheel of the car and getting that DUI. I promise you that is not a good look on anyone's end, especially yours. I'm gonna get the heck out of here. I'm gonna rest my voice, chill out, relax, and all that good stuff. And I'll see you guys next Saturday for episode 381 of the YLP podcast. See you.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.